For those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Vicky, and I'm the team leader here at The Journey. And if this is your first time, we hope that you'll feel really welcome here. It's really great to have you here with us. And we've only got 25 minutes left, so I'm going to speak for a short time. But at the moment, this term at The Journey, the theme we're looking at is the Father Heart of God. We just really feel that that is what God wants us to be concentrating on at the moment. So most weeks we're kind of looking at that whole thing of the Father. But when I'm speaking, I'm not usually speaking on the Father Heart of God. I'm speaking to the vision of where we're going as The Journey. And I've been looking at Acts as we've been doing that. So if you've got your Bibles with you, if you just want to go with me to Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's a whole little story, which you'll skid to read the whole chapter so you can get the whole flow. Okay, so 10 verse 1. Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, as I suppose you would be if an angel turned up in your house, don't you think? You wouldn't be alarmed. Okay. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He's staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance, and he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. Again, a voice came to him a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. This happened three times. And immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you, but get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, because I like the word behold in this translation, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging. And on the next day he got up and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. As he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him, and yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I ask for what reason you have sent for me. Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace throughout Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I love that verse. Just thought I'd stop there and just say that. That's such an awesome verse. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for those to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Great. That was a long passage, but it was worth reading the whole thing. So I just want to spend a few moments just drawing some things out from this chapter, which are important for us here at the Journey and in the season that God is taking us into. You know, God pinpoints different things at different times. And just to give some background to this chapter, just in case for those of you who this is the first time you've heard about this, you know, throughout the history of the Bible, we see how God calls a chosen, set apart people, the Jews, you know, the nation of Israel, that he set apart them for himself. They're holy, set apart to him, and he gives them different instructions and different things about how to live, and he reveals himself to them. But right at the beginning of time, you know, when we read in Genesis 12, we see how even though God set apart these people towards himself, it was always intention that through these people, the whole world would be blessed. You know, in Genesis 12, it's when God first calls Abraham and he says to him, I'll bless you. And this is my paraphrased version, use you to bless all the families on earth. Does anyone know that passage? A few. I'm sure more of you do. Interaction's good. It makes me feel more secure. So, you know, there we see God setting out right at the beginning of time that his desire is that through the nation of Israel, all the nations will be blessed. Now, you can't completely say that none of the Jews ever got this, but it seems that they often didn't quite get it. That the whole purpose is that they will be used to bless other nations or other people groups or people who weren't Jews, however you want to put it. And so we see that, like, Jesus comes, and when Jesus comes, he has that clear mandate that he's to go first to the Jews. You read about that in the Gospels, that he knows, you know, if you think about it, God is the most strategic person of all. He's got his strategy in place. He sends Jesus. Jesus is going to go to the Jews. He's going to be working among them. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus is just training up people, putting stuff in place, obviously accomplishing what he was accomplishing on the cross. But then he has a plan that these Jews, who's invested into all of himself, they are going to be going out and reaching out to the other people groups. People who are not Jews, which it calls Gentiles in scripture. And so God has got this master plan going on, but the people who are currently his followers, the Jews, probably don't fully get it. You know, God says different things. We read about stuff in scripture where God is speaking into people, but you know, sometimes God speaks stuff in, but we don't yet get it. Has anyone else had that experience? Yeah, God has been saying something for ages, and then one moment, suddenly, we're like, oh, yes, it all becomes clear now. I've suddenly had that revelation of it. And that's what happened to Peter. You know, Peter, he's gone on a massive journey. If you think about it, you know, as a Jew, he's been grown up under Jewish tradition. He's learned all the Old Testament stuff. And then Jesus comes. And, you know, Jesus talks about himself, how he's come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And so as he comes to fulfill it, in some ways he seems like he turns things on their heads. Because, you know, he's come to fulfill the law. So if we look at the teachings of Jesus, you know, like when we read in the Beatitudes, it's gone from, he says, you know, you've heard it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you even look at a woman or a man, although it says woman in the scripture, you know, in a lustful way, you commit adultery. So Jesus comes and he brings a whole other level, that it's actually, it's about the heart. It's what's going on in your heart that's important. But it's that progression that's gone to Jesus, where now that revelation is coming. So if you think about it, Peter has gone through this massive journey of meeting Jesus and being with him for those 3 years, and having the whole way that he would have thought about scripture, thought about his life, it's all been turned around already. He's had a massive turnaround, and then he's experienced crazy things. He's experienced the day of Pentecost, and here he finds himself one of the leaders in that early church. And there he is praying. And in that place of prayer, God reveals something new and fresh to him. And I love the way that God deals with us, because God knows how to deal with us in a way that we'll get it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if God had just said to Peter, okay, you need to reach out to the Gentiles, you think that's quite straightforward. But sometimes when we hear something just that straightforward, it's not. We need to go on a journey of processing it and engaging at a heart level. And God knows and understands that. So he has this vision, the sheep coming down with all these animals in it. And part of their Jewish culture, they wouldn't have been allowed to eat those foods because they were considered to be unholy, unclean. And then God tells him to kill and eat. And he says, no, I can't do that. I've never let something unholy pass through my lips. And then he says to him, don't say that anything that I have cleansed isn't holy. Those aren't the exact correct words, but I can't think them off the top of my head. And so God says that to him. So he deals with him in that way. And Peter still doesn't understand exactly what it is that God is saying to him, but God is taking him on a journey into revelation. That's what God does with us. He takes us on a journey into revelation. So we'll be grappling with something. Oh, I'm not quite sure what that means. And he's heading us to it. And meanwhile, God is speaking to Cornelius over here, someone who's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He fears God, but he probably doesn't know all of the stuff. He doesn't know who Jesus is really yet. And yet he's a man who is seeking after God and wants to know God. And God comes and speaks to him, and he responds and comes and gets Peter. And it's in that process of how then the Spirit tells Peter about these two men that are coming, that the revelation comes that this isn't just about what food you can eat, this vision. It's about something that's about to change the whole course of history of the world. you know, that actually Jews are not to consider people who aren't Jews to be unholy, that they can't associate with them anymore. That revelation, yes, they were a set apart holy nation to God, but they didn't get the progressive nation that in that, the progressive revelation, sorry, that in that they're supposed to be blessing the whole world. So this revelation comes to Peter that he is supposed to be reaching out to the Gentiles, those people who aren't Jews, people like us, if you're not a Jew, you know, we can now be part of this glorious gospel of the kingdom of God. And so it's hard for us to really understand what a massive shift that must have been in Peter's thinking. You know, it's maybe a bit difficult if you try and get your head around it, try and think of a modern day version of what that would mean for you. But it's actually these people over here, we're supposed to be going to those people. And you know, it talks about how when the Holy Spirit starts to be poured out on the Gentiles, that other Jewish believers that he'd brought with him from Joppa were amazed. Wow, the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon them as well in this most wonderful way. And it amazed them. And then as you go on through Acts, you see how it progresses in as they begin to reach out to the Gentiles and the different things they come up against. You know, what do we do? Do we say that the Gentiles should be circumcised or not? That was a sign of the old covenant. Now we're in the new covenant under Jesus. What does that mean? And they have to grapple with these different things. What should we say about what they're supposed to eat? You know, these things that were part of the Jewish culture were being challenged by it, and they had to work those things out. And all of that, I wanted to get to a point which is very simple but yet very profound, and so I'm not going to go on about it too long, is that who is the Cornelius in our lives? You know, God is calling us into a new season as a church, and he's calling us, and we're already walking in it, to reach out to people who are different to us. People who are different to us. You know, there's in that chapter it talks about how God doesn't show partiality. Now, I don't know about you, but I would immediately say, I'm not prejudiced against people, you know, because I wouldn't want to be. But sometimes we don't realise the prejudice that's in our hearts. Do you know what I mean? That's something that my mum always says. Don't say, do you know what I mean? But hey. The prejudice that's in our hearts. And so I just feel that the Spirit is challenging us as a church to deal with the prejudice in our hearts, because he's calling us to reach out to people who are different than ourselves. If I look around at us today, we could say, I know sometimes people don't like to talk about class, so sorry. But you know, we're predominantly a middle class white group of people. And God is calling us to reach out into this village of people who are completely different to us. They have a different way of seeing the world. And as they become part of our community, that's going to bring with it challenges to us in how we do church together. It's going to turn it upside down. You know, there's a whole host of international students at Royal Holloway, people who aren't white, middle class, British people. How we relate to them and do church with them and do life with them, that's going to challenge us. And those are people that God is calling us to reach out to that are different from ourselves. It doesn't mean to say that we're not going to carry on reaching out to the people we're already reaching out to, but alongside that, God is calling us into those places, and it's going to bring challenge to us. It's going to change things. It's going to shake it up. And, you know, in our steps of this, one of the main reasons we've gone for these community lunches and we've changed the meeting to the morning is part of wanting to create a space where we can invite people from the village to come into as a follow-on from when we're doing Life Worth Living, which, for those of you who don't know, a Saturday morning once a month we do stuff in the village and give out drinks and pray for people and stuff like that. And so that's part of what we've done. Now, when we did that first lunch last month, there were lots of new students here, which we were really happy that you were here with us. And it was a really great time, but we didn't yet have anyone from the community. I'm not worried or disappointed by that at all, because I know this is a strategy God has given to us and it will come. But it's also about us getting ready for it, because it's going to stir things up. And so I'm just going to end now. There's always so much more that can be said, but I don't really need to. I just want to encourage us to ask the Spirit to show us, what does this mean for us personally? What does this mean for us as a church? That God is calling us to step outside of ourselves and reach out to people differently to us, and it's going to shake everything up. You know, what are the prejudices in my heart that could end up being barriers to people? You know, if, you know, we so desire here to see a move of God come in this village at Royal Holloway, you know, in our nation. And when the Spirit moves, it causes lots of mess and havoc. You can't have nice little tidy church. I don't know that we have very nice tidy church anyway, but it will be even more messy. You can't have that. When the Spirit starts moving, it shakes us up. And I just feel the Spirit saying to us that we need to align ourselves for revival. We need to align ourselves for a move of God. And it comes in the most unexpected ways. Peter was just doing what he did. He was going up praying like he normally did. And in that place, the Spirit came and spoke something to him that gave him new revelation, which changed the course of history. He just went and met a small group of people. God moved amongst them. Then it gradually spread throughout all the Gentiles. That's how God does things. It's bit by bit by bit, things happen along the way, and it leads to something enormous that changes history. And so we need to align ourselves with God, with his purposes, to be in that place of prayer, place of connection with God, where he will bring that fresh revelation to us that will push us in a new direction, all that kind of stuff. But let's take it really personally. What does it mean for me and how I go about my day-to-day life? I just want us to take a few moments. Let's just be quiet before God and just ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean for me personally? What are the prejudices in my heart? Who are the people like Cornelius who are different from myself that you're calling me to be reaching out to? It might be the Holy Spirit shows a prejudice that you don't even really realise that you have, and you're like, oh yeah, actually, I can see that. Let's just ask the Spirit to speak to us.